Deepak Singh chronicles his downward mobility as an immigrant to a small town in Virginia in his new book, How May I Help You? An Immigrant's Journey from MBA to Minimum Wage. Armed with an MBA from India, Singh can only get a minimum wage job in an electronics store. Every day he confronts unfamiliar American mores, from strange idioms to deeply entrenched racism. Telling stories through the unique lens of an initially credulous outsider who is fresh off the plane, he learns the struggle of his colleagues and ultimately learns how to adapt to his job and his new life. Deepak Singh is a writer, radio producer, and journalist. He is a frequent contributor to PRI's The World, and his new book is How May I Help You? We welcome Deepak Singh to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
At what point did you know that you wanted to write about your journey, writing about what you achieved?
You know, I worked here on the sales floor for 2 years, and I went to India after quitting the job for a whole year with my wife, who was doing research in my hometown. So when I went to India and I was back in my hometown with my parents and doing the same things that I always did, like driving around a motorcycle and eating Indian samosas and food and fried breads and everything. And that made me think, you know, selling electronics in Virginia in a store was something, you know, very different. It seemed so, the idea was so far-fetched that I couldn't believe that I actually did that. I was there, you know, 8 hours a day talking to people from rural Virginia or in Charlottesville and like trying to understand their accents, selling them stuff like radar detectors, shower radio, metal detectors, you know, CB radios. And those things, people don't know if in India that actually what is a shower radio? Why do you need to listen to a shower radio in your shower? Why can't you step out and then do it? So it made me think, you know, that is something I should really write about, because I didn't want to be a writer or anything. I just wanted to write those experiences for the people who might want to read in India, or maybe my children, my family, somebody. And so I started to jot down notes, and I mean, that's to answer your question, that's when I thought I should really put it down.
So armed with an MBA from India, what do you think you should have been able to achieve initially, in the sense of like what is expected of a normal person leaving with an MBA?
Well, with an MBA, it's more of a generic term. It means that, I mean, I was educated. I was not unskilled when I came here. I had education. I was qualified. But that somehow didn't matter here, you know. When people saw my degree from a name that didn't sound like, you know, Wharton School of Business or Darden or somewhere big, you know, Ivy League university, they didn't, oh, this looks foreign, must not be any worth, you know. So they just couldn't, like, think about it. So I had to compete with a lot of people who had just high school diploma. Imagine you've gone through college, you know, undergrad and master's, and you move to a different country, and you're only considered as qualified as a high school graduate. That can be a little bit disheartening. And so you have to start at that level. And also what you did, like I produced radio shows and worked in a good job, and that also didn't count for anything. And I had to do something that I had never done, like selling electronics. I had no experience selling anything to anybody, anywhere in the world. So, yeah.
In the book, you do chronicle not only your story, but the struggle that your colleagues had as well in that electronics store. It wasn't just you. And there were people who you were working with, these middle-aged individuals, men and women, who really were having a very, very tough time.
Yeah, I mean, the story is, I use my story to reflect on their story, because I was the one who was whining in the beginning, like, why do I have to do this? Why can't I get a better job? But then I saw these people who were working with me. They had no, I mean, they didn't come from India. They were here. And still, they were like 47 and 48 years old people, men and old, with kids, and they were working on minimum wage, trying to pay mortgage, you know, child care, car payments, and several other loans. And they had no escape, and they'd been doing this for years. And I tried to put myself into their shoes and think, like, you know, what they might be going through. I thought of America before I came to America as somewhere everybody drives a BMW and Cadillacs and Audis, you know, but this was a whole different America. And I sat down with them on the floor, you know, dusting, cleaning, and doing counting all the products, and thought, you know, I had a different life in India, but right now that doesn't matter. I'm here with them working, and this is it's an eye-opening experience for me.
Does it help in understanding the immigrant experience when you see people, as you say, middle-aged people from this country who don't have the education that you do, but are certainly having the economic struggles that you are?
Just not the immigrants, but just a lot of people. I mean, like people in general who are, I suppose, 50 years old or 60 years old and have less education than I do, or they're only high school graduates. And I see them, it makes me very sad. They're like standing at the doors of big box stores and greeting people, and they're tired. And they look tired. And the ladies, like older ladies who work as waitresses, and so tired that you can see their eyes, you know, they haven't slept. And they're there because they have to make ends meet. And the money they make waitressing or working in Walmarts or Targets, it's not a lot of money. You know, it's very, very difficult to get by. So, I mean, it made me think of the America. Most people think of United States of America and India or other countries. I don't know. I know about India. People think, like, you know, this is a land of opportunity. I mean, of course it is. But there's also some sadness behind the bright lights. And that's what I talked about and wrote in this book.
Because it does seem that you included, but all of the people that you're working with, and you alluded to this a moment ago, but everybody's trying to get out, right? Everyone's trying to find the next better gig.
Yeah, they were not there to like, so this is great, this is my dream job, I've always been here. And they were looking for next thing, the next job. I mean, but again, the next job was not going to be like super good. It could be a dollar more an hour, you know, than this or some other retail job, because they were tired of the boss or the work environment or bad hours. So, I mean, it's like, you know, it's a saying in India, you say, like, you fall from the sky and you get stuck in a coconut tree. So you don't totally land. You just, like, you're going from one bad thing to the next. So that kind of situation. So
the story, of course, has a happy ending for you, because you leave this minimum wage job and you end up eventually in the very lucrative field of public radio. So good for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. But I also, this is also a story of success in some way, because I ended up becoming the top salesman. You know, I was having a hard time trying to sell anything to anyone, because I was shy and I was scared of not being able to answer people's questions. I was hiding from customers. But then that changed, and I became the most sought after salesman in the store. And so I made a whole lot more money. I mean, like from $8 to $16, which is still not much, but it was good. And so I felt good about myself that, look, you know, this is not the job I wanted, but I actually kept it. And I managed not to get fired.
You write about a woman by the name of Cindy who had a very matter-of-fact attitude, who helped you in fitting in to this environment.
Yeah, she's my hero. I mean, she's a very brave woman, and she has a very straightforward way of selling things, you know, in a very truthful manner, explaining things. So I started mimicking how she pitched stuff to people, and I would stand next to her a lot of times and watch her speak as she spoke. And she sometimes like, why are you standing next to me all the time? So I said, like, you know, I'm trying to see what you say and trying to copy, because I don't know, I've never sold anything to anybody, and this is a whole different culture. You have a different way of selling to people here. And so she helped me, and she understood what I was doing, and she encouraged me a lot of times. She would like give one of her customers to me, that, hey, Deepak, you can take it from here, you know.
You are now a writer, radio producer, and journalist, a frequent contributor to PRI's The World. What got you interested in journalism and public radio?
Well, this started in India. I had this degree, and as soon as I finished MBA, I knew that this was not for me. I didn't want to wear a suit and tie and sit in, you know, some 14th-story cubicle looking at the computer all day long. I was looking for something more creative, and somehow a producer from England, British Broadcasting Corporation, thought I could do radio, and here I am.
And here you are doing our show, and we're very
right.
Quite delighted by that. The name of the book is How May I Help You? An Immigrant's Journey from MBA to Minimum Wage. Ultimately, what do you hope people get out of your story?
Well, I'm one thing that teaches that taught me working there and writing that the word empathy, you know, trying to understand people's sorrows or whatever they're thinking, whatever they're going through, by putting yourself in their position in the shoes. And I would say next time, you know, you walk into a retail store, please be nice to the salesperson.
How May I Help You is the name of the book by Deepak Singh. It is published by University of California Press. Deepak, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have
you
on the program.
Thank you so much for having me, Joe.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.